Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Have you seen Gary?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, let's recover. Hi. Welcome to The Drift. I guess I am your host, Ed Bondarenka. I'm joined here in studio with Alex Wassel and with Pastor Richard Dietering. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Say hey, Ed.
Hi, Alex. Anybody you want to say hi to, Alex?
Well, I'd like to do a shout-out to my niece, Sarah, a very loyal listener right now.
Well, that's good. Excellent. Hi, Sarah. Join us.
So, new time listener who's loyal.
Yeah,
right. I got it.
So far,
this is her first show.
Good. Yeah, let's
absolutely
not screw that up, huh? Okay, so let's see. First off, I want to give a shout out to one of our advertisers, and that would be Overhead Door of Whitmore Lake. And I really would like to find their ad in the Current newspaper so I could read some of it to you. And I have the feeling somebody opened this paper and stole the ad out to take advantage of the coupons because I can't find it. Well, we'll talk more about them later. I got to tell you, I've used Overhead Door of Whitmore Lake. You can Google their name. You can find their phone number in the Current normally. And I've used them for commercial purposes. They cover much more than Whitmore Lake. I've had them come out to Canton, Michigan, in a facility I was taking care of out there. They do bay doors, entry doors, all kinds of doors. So, this is the Drift Radio Show. And what we do here is we go over...
For the news you need to know.
Thank you. See, I boogered that up. That's me. That's a boogered up. That's a term I just learned from Dick Kupke.
That's very technical.
Yes, a very technical term. So,
it sounds gross.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, we're going to have Tim Walberg come in for the second half of the show. He'll be calling in. And so we'd be willing to entertain any questions any callers would have for Tim. We have a few ourselves. And if you have any interest in what's going to happen in the House of Representatives next year when Nancy Pelosi takes charge once more, you know, feel free to give us a call. Give us some questions because we are – Rick, would you give the phone number, please? I'll give you an
opportunity. 734-822-1600.
Yes, thank you. I thought you forgot the last four digits there.
No, it's a dramatic pause.
Ooh.
That's how you get their attention. You give a pause.
And speak quietly.
Yeah, that really works well on radio.
Yeah, yeah. And they lean into the
pauses,
radio.
Pauses and quietly.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So, let's see now. In the news that you need to know, George H.W. Bush died. Former president of the United States. Do you know what number he was? I don't offhand. Nope. Nope, okay. I don't. So,
well, if Obama
that's what
was Derek's 44.
For.
Okay. Then
that would be George W. was 43.
Okay. And then Clinton was 42. Bush was 40.
41.
41. See,
yeah.
I can't even count. There you go. So anyways, George H.W. Bush, he died. He was president. He was many more things than a president. He volunteered to go into the Navy Air Service. He was a bomber pilot, a fighter bomber pilot, I should say, in the South Pacific. Shot down. There's an iconic picture of him being rescued by a submarine from the water. And so there's a guy who laid his life on the country at one point. He served in many ways. The question is, how well did he serve? And who did he serve besides the country?
Well, he also was with the CIA. Don't forget that.
You know, I always thought that was a good thing until recently. Now I'm kind of concerned about, you know, being in the CIA as a credential.
Well, maybe today.
Yeah, well,
or maybe under Obama.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The CIA used to be a bureaucracy that served this country well.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And I mean, they've stepped up for this country when even other presidents have fallen short. Remember the Bay of Pigs. That was a CIA operation that the president dropped the ball on. And
well, I'm also thinking of some other CIA catastrophes and rogue operations.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of like the missile crisis. When Kennedy was told that there was a shortfall in missiles and that the Russians had a ton more missiles than us, right, and almost got us into a nuclear war when it was phony information.
Well, they were operating on bad information. But the CIA, just like the other groups, like the FBI, only the FBI is the home version, they do a lot of stuff that we're not aware of to keep this country safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear about the fluff or the blow ups on the news, obviously, but I rate them as people serving their country just as much as I would somebody in the military.
I read a book once called "The Old Boys," and it was about the formation of the CIA and how it morphed from the OSS in World War II into the CIA. These guys were good guys. There was a lot of politics going on. There's, you know, like with any government organization.
Right.
But in general, these guys were putting their life on the line for this country.
So. Well, I think the problem, Ed, is today the CIA and the NSA and the FBI are politicized, and the past administration has abused that power to turn it against, we'll say, the current administration.
So getting back to George H.W. Bush as head of the CIA, do you think it was a good thing, a bad thing?
Well, we don't know everything that he was involved with. I think
Skull and Bones. He was involved in Skull and Bones.
We first have to admit CIA does a lot of secret work. I mean, that is what they do.
Definition.
All right.
Yeah. Unless they want to leak what they do. Yeah.
Unless they leak what they do. So what we really know of what was done in that time, there are things that hit the news that I would say wasn't so great. I wasn't so happy with them in things he did as president. But
you got to say he ran against Reagan, but then Reagan brought him on board, and he became a great supporter of Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't stab him in the back, and he ran as Reagan the sequel. You know,
well,
read my lips.
He was much more of a globalist than Reagan,
and an elitist.
Yeah, well, he had those connections. That's for
right.
sure. That was the environment he was raised.
I mean,
in.
He was raised in the Washington.
Elite.
Cesspool.
Yeah.
And,
swamp.
Yeah.
Well, there's a word for that. That's a technical term.
A swamp.
Yeah.
You go swamp, I'm going to say it's much worse. It's a cesspool. All right?
Okay.
A septic field. So Reagan, of course, he started out as a Democrat, realized he was not, he shouldn't be part of the problem, and became a Republican. And
People do that, I hear.
Yeah. And he became a very staunch conservative. And he gave in on areas where we would say, like, raising taxes he shouldn't have, but I think that was all part of compromise. In his heart, he was a conservative.
So in his later years, after he's president, what was his stance on, say, Trump?
I was talking Reagan.
Reagan.
No.
We brought Reagan.
So
we bring it now into Bush. Now, Bush is much more of a globalist. And this is why his view of Trump is so hateful. He didn't like Trump because Trump is not a globalist at all.
Yeah.
He wants America great again, right? He wants to take us back to a day where the nation was much more proud of itself. It was had a much more, I think pride's a good word, national pride, something that has been missing in this country for a long time.
Well, that's
time.
True. But as for, I guess what I'm getting down to is, what do you think about George H.W. Bush's overall legacy?
He was a globalist, and that's where I go with it. He was a globalist.
Okay.
I did not like where he took the Gulf War.
Alex?
Well, I didn't like him when I was a Democrat, and I don't like him now.
Okay, well, that answers that.
As I move my chair a little bit further
right.
away from Alex.
Yeah.
Well, I got over it.
Okay, enough on George H.W. Bush. He passed. He did some good things for the country. He did some things that probably weren't so good for the country. There's people who say he gave us Clinton, that if it hadn't been for his no new taxes, or rather, you know, read my lips, if he'd have stayed true to that and not fallen for the Democratic trap in the violated that, that he'd been reelected, we wouldn't have seen Bill Clinton. Of course, we have Ross Perot to blame for that also. So,
well, yeah, I was going to say he was in that picture. But I think what we need to also remember is he sat in that seat because of the system of this country, which is through election. And he sat in the highest seat of power in this country as the president. And we lost today one of our presidents.
And
in that, I take sorrow.
Okay.
I didn't like him. I didn't like him as a president.
All right.
But
same
we
here.
Lost president.
We have a couple calls, and Joe's been waiting patiently, and he's going to continue to wait patiently because on topic here, and I understand, Joe, the topic is going to be what we're going to ask Tim Walberg when he comes in. We mentioned that. So, but I want to see what Mark from Howell has to say. Derek, would you let Mark on, please?
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on today. Yes, being on topic, I wanted to mention that what a fine job that President Trump is recognizing George Herbert Walker Bush, one of our 41st president. That, you know, basically, look what happened at the funeral here of that came up with McCain, where you know, that situation arose, and he was kind of shunned aside from the state funeral, so to speak. But that just speaks volumes for President Trump and also sends a message to the leftist progressives that we may not have liked President Bush's policies under his leadership, but respect him just the same. He was a president of this country.
Well, that's what Rick was saying, yeah.
And I also want to add, I'm looking at a book by James Bradley called Flyboys, and if you look up Chapter 7, it's devoted to our 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush. And it just, I want to read a brief little thing here. It says, we were all teenagers or barely into our 20s, totally naive to the ways of the world. Our patriotic goal was to get even for Pearl Harbor. All 48 states were united. Aviators would be needed to defeat Japan. We were the Flyboys. Pilot Lou Grab quoted in George Bush his World War II years, gentlemen.
Yep.
He was a patriot.
Yeah, he was a patriot.
Yep, and he was a globalist, but he loved his country. And like I said, we don't have to love him.
That's what I'm getting at. It's a mixed
bag. We don't have to love everything he did. What we do have to remember is by the vote of the people and the system we have in this government, he was our 41st president, and we lost him today. And we still have to show high respect for the office. I mean, he sat in that seat. He was in that Oval Office.
Well, thanks for that, Mark. I appreciate that. Was there any last thing you want to say before we move on?
Yes, I was not happy with his United Nations topic there he brought up, the New World Order he presented, not only to the country, but to the world order, so to speak, and that's what we're fighting against today. That was my biggest one beef against the president on that New World Order theme. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Absolutely.
And one thing, and Joe, you're going to wait a little bit longer because Ken from Livonia is going to talk about George H.W. Bush, I should say. Derek, would you bring Ken on, please?
Hey, Ken.
My view of George H.W. Bush, I didn't like him. From the beginning, I still don't like George H.W. Bush because he was a globalist. He didn't like Ronald Reagan from the beginning, and I still don't like the guy.
Well, you know, we were talking about it earlier before the show, and he gave us Desert Storm, and we were asking, so did he set up Desert Storm? Remember, there was that ambassador to Kuwait who gave the word to Saddam that we won't move if you move into Kuwait, and then
Gillespie.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Right, and then Saddam moved, and then we clobbered him. And was that at the behest of the Saudis, or you know why? And then, like Rick was saying, Pastor Rick was saying, he also asked Israel to stand down so that they didn't defend themselves.
And that bothered me more than anything. I mean,
what do you think, Ken?
Well, I remember that, and I still don't like George W. Bush. I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. But he was not the kind of guy that I wanted to be president. He was not the guy that I wanted to represent me.
Okay. That sounds fair.
He was definitely, there again, like John McCain, dearly departed John McCain, he was still a globalist, and I can't stand globalists.
Okay, sounds fair.
I mean, that's just the way I feel. And when I look at, Desert Storm, and I look at all the things that occurred during his presidency, he's just, he's not somebody that I want to give high praises for.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
And I expect to see that and hear that a lot from conservative Republicans is, you know, I'm having a hard time giving high praises. I myself in that same boat as the man and what he did in that office. Again, I just say we have to remember that a leader of our nation that helped us get to where we are today has passed. And we have got
I won't feel that way at Obama's funeral if I'm around.
And okay. This is America. You can feel any way you want.
I'm not comparing George H.W. Bush to, you know, Obama. Not at all. Right. Don't make that mistake. I'm just saying that that's the way
you,
that
you
goes
have
with
the
me, just
right
because he was a president. You know?
You have the right to feel the way you will feel.
All right.
We both serve the nation, so we you know where I'm coming from.
Let's see what Joe wants to say. Joe, how are you doing?
I pretty much agree with all of your sentiments.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for calling. Talk to you later.
Call my show. I'll actually talk to you, Joe.
I have a pass than I did McCain, though. I will say that in his defense. But, yeah, your suspicions about the CIA and the whole Kuwait thing, I think there is something to that there. But, yeah, I was calling because Wahlberg will be on. And is this not the Drift radio show? And is not the point of the Drift radio show to discuss everything in the Daily Drift because it's
the news you need
to know.
So
exclamation point.
Always on almost always on topic because it's a topic from the Daily Drift because it's
the news you need to know. Yeah, we went over that already. Come on, Joe, get on with it.
But yeah, there's a couple of things regarding the government shutdown in the Daily Drift and obviously, we need to talk to Wahlberg about that, and I am definitely all for government shutdowns when it's for the right reasons. For if anybody might, you know, try to call me a hypocrite like they would on Facebook, I oppose the Schumer shutdown because it was about putting illegals above American citizens. I am all for Trump shutting down the government if he doesn't get the wall funding and we get some cuts in spending.
Okay.
You know, if the Democrats so choose to shut off government, what I sit there and say is that gives us a perfect picture of what parts of the government we can go without.
The House of Representatives.
We can start there. No. Because only the essential parts stay open. We start finding out actually what they could get rid of, you know, what fat they can get rid of.
How about UN spending? Need to support the UN?
Yep, we could cut that out.
Yeah, let's cut the UN.
One of my favorite cartoons is a Dilbert cartoon, and there's an impending snowstorm, and the pointy-haired boss makes an announcement over the PA, says, due to the impending snowstorm, all non-essential employees may leave work early. And then he goes upstairs and he's looking out the window and taking names of who's walking out to their cars.
Yep.
All the non-essentials. Yep.
That's perfect. But no greater favor to this country could be done is to have a 90-day shutdown because the longer it goes on, the more people wake up to the lie of government being so essential. And they see that their checks keep going, their jobs keep occurring, the planet keeps rotating.
I say shut down EPA first, right? The Mueller investigation? That's not essential. Shut down the Mueller investigation.
But how about the Department of Education?
Oh, man, we can get rid of that.
Endowment of the Arts?
Yeah. Well, how about this? How do you feel about this, shutting down the national parks? You know, there are people that put up barricades on the last one. Is that essential or not? I say it is.
It is if I'm headed there.
No, I say it is because
that was Obama pulled that as a stunt, the war memorials.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
And here's why I say this is essential. Is because men and women died for those memorials in this country, and the family should have the right to go there and pay tribute to their loved ones.
That's right. Hey, anything else, Joe?
Well, just because a park it doesn't have a full staff doesn't mean it should be necessarily closed down. It's just you're in those parks necessarily at your own risk then. What's wrong with that?
It's often the case anyhow, right? It's often the case anyhow. You're out walking the Appalachian Trail, you're on your own.
Yeah. But let's get real here. If there's a government shutdown, the essential services are going to keep going. You know, I'm guessing even the national parks will stay open.
Well, the Army's going to stay up. You know, the Navy's not going to, you know, the subservice isn't going to surface.
Social Security's still going to go out.
Yeah. You know. All right. Anything else, Joe, before I get on to Gary from Hazel
Thanks
Park?
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
All right. Great. Talk to you later.
See you, Joe.
So let's talk to Gary from Hazel Park. He wants to talk about George H.W. Bush.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Gary.
Hello, Gary.
Hey, when I was a boy, when I was a child, I used to think that presidents meant something. Then I grew up.
They had presidents back then?
They were just a bunch of scum.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I walked over you. I'm sorry. Say that again.
When I was a child, when I was young, I used to think presidents were something special. And then I grew up and I realized they're just a bunch of men, just like everybody else, who have their faults. And they have more faults than they have, how shall we say, attributes. These are the people that are responsible for how we are today as a nation, because each and every one of them failed in their job, because our nation is under siege right now for economics, for the border, the China, and stealing all the technical information. I mean, we're in a world of hurt, and it is the administrations of past that are responsible for it.
George Washington. John Adams, Abraham Lincoln. Now, there are people who argue about Abraham Lincoln. I understand that.
You got to go all the way up to at least Eisenhower before what I'm saying is what I'm talking
about. Okay, I just want to be clear. It's not necessarily the office. It's the people in the office.
Being a historian, I go back, and I'm going back to before FDR even. Even up to Teddy Roosevelt is where our nation started to fall apart with the presidency. But we still have to remember is that in that seat, they were people that were elected by the people to be sit in that office and seat. Now, Gary, I know that you served the military, and so did Joe. Did you serve the military?
Yeah. No, I was in the Air Force.
You were we got three veterans and an Air Force member.
Yeah.
I went in under Bill Clinton. And I had a chance to, I want to say the unfortunate chance to where I had to meet the president in uniform. And, I saluted him. I did not like the man. I couldn't wait. As a matter of fact, it was coming up to where they were going to swear in Reagan. I was looking forward to that day. But I still had to salute him. I was saluting the office.
Yeah. Yep. And I, by the way, flew on Nixon's helicopter, Marine Helicopter 1. Yeah, I did.
Was he with you?
No, he wasn't.
Then it wasn't Marine One.
That's true. But it was painted just like it and had the same staff.
Well, getting back to Gary's statement is I think presidents are just one part of three branches of government, the executive branch. And I think you were mentioning the past presidents who were pretty good presidents and had great administrations. But the problem today is – we'll say under the Trump administration, you've got the legislative branch and part of the judicial branch trying to torpedo what he's trying to do, putting America First policy. And I think we could all agree on that.
Well, the one thing our founding fathers knew is that men are flawed. In nature, they're flawed, which is why they have checks and balances, why they gave us the government they gave us.
That's why we have a Redeemer, by the way. I think I should point that out to you. I know you're not a Pentecostal, so you may not be aware of that.
Oh, I'm very much aware of it. I just don't have to confuse myself knowing it.
Okay.
If our federal government had been doing their job correctly, we would be better off today than you guys can imagine.
Absolutely.
We'd be in the stratosphere. We'd be bionic. We would be doing it, but we're not. We're in the middle of personal strifes, party versus party, state versus state, and we're coming apart at the seams. And that still falls on the politicians and the head politicians, the president.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Gary. Appreciate it. Always good point of view. And the rest of you, we'll see you after the break. Please stay tuned. We're going to have Representative Tim Walberg call in.
P
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Karen McHugh, remembering George H.W. Bush as a man of grace and dignity.
Brad Blakeman, former deputy assistant to President George W. Bush, described to Fox News his graciousness to incoming President Bill Clinton after he lost a tough election.
Have an orderly transition and to support the new president and to make sure that every opportunity he had was for success.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland reporting the nation's 41st president died last night in Houston. He was 94. The passing of Mr. Bush has slightly altered plans for the current chief exec, who's at the G20 summit.
We were going to have a very big press conference, and out of respect for President Bush, we've canceled it here, and we'll have it back in Washington at some time in the near future, sometime after the funeral service.
President Trump in Buenos Aires designated Wednesday, December 5th, a national day of mourning. This is Fox News.
When one of your major home appliances stops working, you want someone with experience to fix it. Bill and Joe Henderson at MasterTech have been taking care of people in Ann Arbor and the surrounding communities since 1978. At MasterTech Appliance, they service nearly every appliance make and model. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, ranges, air conditioners, and more. MasterTech handles both residential and commercial work and always solves the problem. Their technicians are friendly, knowledgeable, and on time. Call 734-662-0641. That's 734-662-0641 or toll free 800-663-0331. You can also visit MasterTechAppliance.com online. MasterTech, Federal Boulevard, one block off Stadium near the Ann Arbor Post Office. Service hours daily, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. MasterTech Appliance, technicians who care. Servicing appliances throughout Washtenaw, Livingston, and Western Wayne County.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, "What can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you." And everything with a smile. I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Well, welcome back to The Drift. I love that music. Absolutely love that music. Peter Gunn. Is that Henry Mancini? I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yes, sorry, Bob. So, we are back. I'm back in studio with Pastor Rick and with Alex Wassel. And I'm Ed Bondarenka. And the phone number is 734-822-1600. Almost gave out my number.
I know. I got to stop. I'm really excited about Congressman Wahlberg calling in.
Yep, and he might be. I'm jiggling the phone here. And it's, yeah, he's on line one. Before we continue, I want to say, honey, I saw your voicemail and your calls. I got the information. Thank you.
That's to my wife. The congressman and I are both alumni from the same school.
Which prison reformatory
Moody.
Was that?
Moody.
Oh, really?
Theological yeah. Institute, right?
Yes. I think he went in Chicago, and I went to the seminary here in Michigan.
Well, that I knew. I remember. Yes. Yeah. I don't think much. How do I put that? I don't often think of people. It's not that I don't think much of people who go to the one here in Southeast Michigan, but I often always think of Moody in Chicago when mm-hmm. I think of Moody. Yeah. So, having said that, before we bring on Tim Walberg, Tim, if you're listening, please wait a second. We got to pay the advertisers. We got to pay the bills. So, I'd like to encourage you to check out AAA Service Network. They are experienced in heating, cooling, plumbing, generators, appliance repair. And I got to tell you, it's that time of year. You want to worry about heating, plumbing, generators. Now, the appliance repair, you might wait a day, but if you need a generator, and you do need a generator, in Southeast Michigan with the weather going the way it is, you need a generator. You need to call. Right now, there's a coupon in the current, and if you call any one of these numbers, go to AAAServiceNetwork.com. I'll give you an example, the Bright number, 810-226-0047. They will answer if you're not in Brighton, if you're listening in Ypsilanti, if you're listening in Southline, if you're listening, give me another Pinckney, Hamburg, Ann Arbor, give them a call. They will hook you up with what you need to keep the power on when the neighbors' houses go dark.
How about us that live in a 734 area code? Do they have a 734 number?
They have a 734 number. What, are you afraid of calling long distance on your cell phone?
Yeah.
734-864-4340. That is the Ann Arbor Whitmore Lake number, yes. But they'll answer, even if you're calling from, what is that you call from, Willis? Is that where you live?
Yeah. See, okay. But if I do the 810, I have to push those three other buttons.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Yes. So I'm glad we settled that. Let's get back to real life. Well, let's take a call from a regular caller to this show. You know, we have representatives in the House that are regular callers to this show. One of them is Tim Walberg. Tim, welcome.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
It's good to be with you. Sorry Gary couldn't be with us today, so you're stuck with me, Gary and Rick.
No, we're glad to have you and to have a fellow Moody. We're Moody people, but we're not Moody people.
He's Moody, yes. Rick is Moody, definitely. I didn't know that about you, Tim, but that's definitely Rick is Moody.
I guess there's some times when I could be considered Moody, but being a Moody grad, I'm always proud of that institution, and I'm glad to know there are other people in the area that also have alumna status.
Well, that's excellent. And you know, to have a good theological background in this life is a good thing.
And more importantly, I live in his district. And yes, I voted for you.
So, well, I appreciate that. Up. And yeah, it's important.
He's looking for a free tour of the Capitol sometime soon, Tim.
Well, give us a few days. I'm up here in Washington right now. We're in the process of moving our office from the other side of Rayburn to the Capitol View side.
That was going to be my first. That was going to be my first question to you, actually. How soon would you be moving, and what's the new office going to look like?
Well, it's going to look...
And how many steps down is it from street level?
We're second on the second floor here.
Okay.
And, we're on fourth floor on the backside of Rayburn, looking out toward the expressway and Reagan Airport. But this one has a little better view. We see him putting up the lights on the Christmas tree right now.
Oh, wonderful.
And... So it'll be a nice spot, but right now it is a mess.
Give a brief explanation. Give a brief explanation of why you're moving offices.
Well, every term you get a chance. There are members that leave, and this time there are a lot of members that left. And you get a chance to pick a new office if you want to. And so we've had an opportunity for the last three terms to pick an office. We stayed in our last office for three terms. We just felt that no other office was any better or any more convenient. The space is almost always the same in each of the office. So we really were waiting for an opportunity for a Capitol View, and it finally came up. And while 6 years of collecting stuff is a real mess, and it's probably good we finally did move, or we probably couldn't have moved in the future with all the junk we'd have acquired over 6 years. But it gave us a chance to come over here, and today I flew back in this morning to help the move and get my office set up so next week we can hit the ground running, and it's going to be a special week with the death of a wonderful, wonderful man and president, that being George Herbert Walker Bush. He was the second president I had the opportunity of meeting, and following Reagan. enjoyed that opportunity, and he was certainly a man of character.
Hey, Congressman, Pastor Rick Dietering here. Just this week, the president has signed with Mexico and Canada a new trade agreement. From what I've seen, it is far, far, far better than NAFTA. It filled some of the holes. But for it to become reality, it's going to have to be passed by Congress, which...
It's a treaty, right?
Yeah,
right,
Senate.
Right. What do you think are the chances of that going through?
Well, I think there's good chances of going through because, frankly, all of the parties that are key involved with it, agriculture, the unions, the manufacturing interests, et cetera, are all relatively supportive of it. I mean, more than relatively, they are supportive of it. There are always little fine-tuning things you'd like to see, but you can't
right.
get that in a deal. And so they're supporting it, so I think the Senate will have a hard time not ultimately ratifying it. The presidents of each of the three countries have signed. It was led by our president with the best wishes of making America great and meeting mm-hmm. our needs the best. And we're the largest country of the three and the most prominent country, and so it ought to be moved our direction, if anything, more than the others. But I think the other two countries are very pleased with it also. So
Tim,
I think there's a good chance that it'll be signed. It won't be done before a lame duck. It'll be
right.
in the next session, but eventually I think it will be done.
Tim, there's a lot of concerns that this is worse than TPP, and that there's national sovereignty issues involved with this treaty, and that, for instance, that Justin Trudeau had thrown in language about forcing the United States to recognize certain definitions of LGBT and conditions on our free speech. Regarding those terms, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, the president has heard from both the House and the Senate on those issues. I was involved with that, making it very clear that we didn't want to see that language.
But how do you negotiate that out if all three major parties, if all three presidents have signed it, our premiers or whoever they are?
Ultimately, that's why it does go to Congress and the opportunity to amend.
Will it?
Well,
will we?
In fact, the matter here, I can't tell you for sure. We'll have to see how it works. We have a new Congress, a new majority in the House, so we'll see. But we can amend that, and there can be additions added to it, addendums that indicate that America will not honor those specific rules and policy acts that Trudeau asked for.
Will somebody challenge those?
The other two countries can if they want to, but those are the options that we get.
Who is running that campaign to challenge that? That's what I'd like to know. And is the House involved or only the Senate?
The House is involved as well.
That's what I thought.
And what's running in the House is the Values Coalition. I'm part of that group. It's a very large group in the U.S. House, primarily made up of Republicans, but there are several Democrats on it as well that will stand for the issues of life and the sovereignty of the way marriage was originally designed and defined.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Good to know he's on board on that.
All right. That's encouraging. We'll believe it when we see it. I hate to say it that way, but you know what I mean.
And again, treaties are treaties. But America, with its Congress, still takes sovereignty. And while there may be a NAFTA treaty that might have some of that language in it, doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be followed or acted upon in the particular country, and specifically we're talking of America.
Depending on who is enforcing, whose administration is in charge at that time, right?
Remember, it's up to the people, and the people decided this time they would take the House majority Republicans out, and... they're going to find out that was not a good idea, but that's how we live. And again, and I think that's what your listeners need to hear. We can grouse and complain, but still the people rule in this country, and they voted or they didn't vote
yep.
in this last election. And that's the problem, I think, in this last election. While we had a million more Democrats come out in Michigan, we didn't have equal as far as Republicans or even Libertarians that would come out and said, we may not like a certain candidate, but certainly is better than Democrat. And that's what we live with now. So make sure your listeners understand it, that it's okay to grouse and complain and pontificate and posture on things, but when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, it comes down to who you voted for. And a Republican, in my mind, is always better than a Democrat.
Speaking of voting for, are you voting for Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker of the House?
I was asked that by Dave Gruber on an interview the other day on Thursday.
Oh, I missed that part of it. I listened to that.
Steve, there's no way on God's green earth that I could find myself voting willingly for Nancy Pelosi. He said, "What if Donald Trump came and asked you to do that in order to give him a speaker that could really be the stalking horse for the next 2 years?"
Yeah, exactly.
I said, "Well, if Donald Trump called me up and said, Tim, for the good of our next election and to make sure that we have a face that basically everybody in the United States dislikes, that's the Speaker of the House, and we can blame it all on her, would you give me your vote so we can have just enough votes to make it?" I told Steve, sure, certainly I would think about it. If the president asked me to do it, I would certainly think about it, but it would grind my gizzard to have to vote for Nancy Pelosi.
So you're going to join Ms. Occasional Cortex in not supporting Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House?
Well, that's my plan right now. And
wow, so and, you're joining that. You're going to vote just like that socialist from the Bronx.
Yeah, but see, you don't know that yet. Last week she kind of ameliorated, and now she says she's going to, as long as Nancy makes the rules changes that she wanted. So,
oh, okay.
So I may be voting with Representative Slotkin from Michigan. I may be voting with a number of Democrats, Sean Moten and others, against the Speaker. But we'll see how that comes out. A Democrat will be Speaker of the House, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, I'm kidding.
And ultimately, if it's Nancy Pelosi, we know what she did when she was Speaker and she gave us the majority back. I came back.
Yeah, I know. We were just talking about that before you called.
Congressman Wahlberg, I think there's going to be a whole bunch of voters' remorse over the next 2 years, and I think if you just keep up promoting America First agenda and fighting back, I think you'll be in a good position 2 years from now.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears on that. I with what's going on with redistricting issues, what our state has done with the redistricting proposal two. We are in real trouble with what we see is taking place in California. Looks like will be taking place in Texas soon. Florida just eked it out this last time by the skin of their teeth. But those three states, plus Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, go Democrat. We will not have a Republican president for the next 50 years. And that's where your listeners and others have to think seriously. Constitution was put in place by men who debated it, prayed over it, and ultimately it stood us very well. When we go in and we start changing things by citizens' referendum and petition, that walks away from everything the designers of our federalist government desired, and that was you elect your representatives, then you hold their feet to the fire. You don't become a grand body yourself and make stupid decisions like we made in Michigan with the 3 points that petitions that were passed, and we're going to live to regret both on marijuana, on redistricting, and on same day registration voting.
Jeez, yes, you know your image of holding their feet to the fire made me think of tar and feathering also, but that's a different mental image.
Well, the idea of proposal two and three, it just leaves us open for more fraud and voter irregularities, and I think it's extremely bad for the electoral process.
I was actually driving down the expressway yesterday, and that came up as a topic, and I just looked at everybody driving around me like, you idiots, what did you vote for? And then I realized, oh, half of them didn't. I got to be good.
It's still a great country with a great constitution, the federal constitution. We have to be careful, and the whole populist ideal sometimes gets us to do things like the 17th Amendment, which made it possible for Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters to remain senators, even though I think if they had to be elected by the state legislature, they wouldn't be there, or else they'd be voting differently on the farm bill and other things.
They would not have been chosen by a state Republican legislature. Let's put it that way. So yes, and it wouldn't be outside dollars informing the election of our state senators. Hey,
right.
speaking of the Senate, what do you think is the chances of H.R. 38 getting out before everything goes south?
Tell me what H.R. 38
is. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the reciprocity.
Reciprocity? I think it's slim to none looking at the Senate. It's frustrating to think about the Senate, which, granted, has a slim majority. You need the 60 votes because of the stupid rules
flake?
They have in the
because
Senate.
Because of flake, you mean? Oh, I'm sorry.
You have a Senate that the Republicans kept the majority and added a seat to that. And then all of what took place in the House, which was the most productive House in the last 75 years, getting across tax reform, regulatory reform, getting across the reciprocity bill and things like that, and we get put back into a minority, it is a bit frustrating. But it is what it is. But I can tell you, I think there's no way that the Senate will get that across the line in lame duck session.
Do you think there's any hope at all for border security in the next session? I was watching this guy on Tucker.
There's very little hope in the next session. But in lame duck, I think there still is some hope that we're going to get funding probably for the next 2-3 years. He won't
is that
get
Andrew McCarthy's
25.
Bill?
He won't get that bill. He already has received three bills from the House that had $25 million of funding in it. None of those have made it through the Senate. So I think the writing is on the wall that the Senate isn't going to do it now. They won't be able to do it next time because we have Nancy Pelosi as Speaker, so it's not going through the House.
I saw this guy on Tucker the other night, maybe last night, the night before, and this guy was a liberal, and he was starting to talk about how Democrats were changing their tune on immigration, illegal immigration, about border security, and actually had Tucker in agreement with him, which was like, wow, you don't see that all the time. And I just wondered, is there some kind of a sea change going on?
Not a sea change. There may be a few members because of what's taking place in Texas, Arizona, and California, what they're seeing happening there and the impact that it's having. A few may be changing their mindset a bit. But overall, no, you're not going to see that.
It's too ideological.
Right now, if we can get 2 years of wall funding through, I'd certainly be really, really pleased. That gives us a chance to get through the next election, and because of what goes on, it may give a better chance for the Republicans to take back a majority and then move forward. And hopefully the Senate will have learned something by then, and hopefully they'll end that filibuster rule.
Okay. Alex, did you have anything?
Well, I think it's not in the Democrats' interest to fund a wall or to even enforce immigration law, because right now they're looking to gain voters through both legal and illegal immigrants and chain migration. So I don't see any help from their end. Maybe you might get an occasional Democrat from a certain district to do that, help you, but I don't see it in the cards. I guess it's our job just to fight back as best we can.
Well, Representative,
I agree with you.
Representative Wahlberg, this is The Drift, and it wouldn't be The Drift if we didn't ask you about something that should be a bipartisan effort, and that is EMP protection. Anything?
Well, we lost our greatest pusher of that, Trent Franks, who sat on the appropriate committee to do it. No, there's still efforts. Fortunately, there's still acknowledgement of that concern in the military. The Pentagon's concerned about it. There is research being done. And there has been a step up as a result of some of the push like that came from Trent Franks on the House Armed Services Committee. And I think as far as a bill coming out, Nancy Pelosi is going to be Speaker, so remember that. And if it was difficult to get it through a House and Senate effort when you had both houses controlled by the Republicans, it'll be a difficult effort there. But I think what's good about it is that the Pentagon is thinking seriously about it and planning toward it. options are being developed, and that's a good thing. So while you're not seeing legislation move forward on it, there'll be amendments on that. I'll be supporting those amendments in budget bills, et cetera. But in the end, at least those that are responsible for this in the military and clandestine community, they've not forgotten about it.
Well, there's talk of Trump using military spending to protect the border and actually national defense spending, I guess it is, to actually build the wall. And I'm wondering if that could also apply, if it could apply to the wall, and can it, would it also apply to EMP?
Well, yeah, it could. It could apply. You can, money is fungible. You can make it work for what you need, and especially in the military area. And they have resources they can use there. But I think President Trump, in pushing for a space a military
Space Force
component, a Space Force, that would also be the place where resources could be used specifically with EMP.
Well, given that an EMP might be solar-based as opposed to, Chi-Com-based, there's not much a Space Force could do to stop the sun from sending bombarding of those particles that take down our electrical grid.
Well, you and I may think that, but I don't know about your background in that area, but I'm sure
good.
That there are people smarter than me on that who can figure out how you intercept what happens there.
Well, okay. Just hardening the grid, I don't care where the money comes from, is a good idea.
Well, we need shielding. We need shielding of these massive transformers that are big inductors. They take electromagnetic waves that we generate through them to, transmit energy across the grid. And if all these solar waves, electromagnetic particles, all of a sudden jump through those coils and induce large voltage spikes, they'll take out everybody's televisions, not to mention,
radio shows, too.
Radio shows, yes, the important stuff, yeah. Yes.
Right now, count ourselves fortunate that we have a president in the White House that is talking tough, acting tough, and leading tough. So that's a good thing.
Okay. All right. Well, that's were there any closing words you wanted to speak to?
Well, I just say thanks again for the opportunity. It's going to be a new year soon. This country is a great country. It's gone through very difficult times. Some would say with civil war and the like, tougher times than what we even have now. I think the citizens reminding themselves that they still are the ones that control what takes place. Getting ready for 2020 is important, and need to keep abreast of what's going on, but understand that we fight better when we fight together as opposed to splitting ourselves up. Let the Democrats do that.
All right.
Those of us that believe in America as a great country, let's stick together.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. It's not too soon. It's December 1st. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. And we'll see you in a month. We'll see you next year. Thanks for calling
in. Talk to you next year.
Thanks. And the rest of you, I never tire of that gag. Talk to you next year. The rest of you, thanks for listening. Tune in next week. Catch the drift. And read the current newspaper. God bless you. Alex, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.